The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instructions, 'Take care of him. If you spend any more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Every 3 years, we have this reading of the Good Samaritan come up in the Sunday cycle. And most times I'm pretty familiar with it. I remember how the story goes and the different details of it. This year, however, I learned something new as I was preparing for the homily, reading through some of my scripture commentary books. One of the commentators pointed out the questions that Jesus asks at the end of the parable. The question is, who was neighbor to the robber's victim? And it's interesting that he changes up the question a bit because he had been asked by this scholar of the law, "Who is my neighbor?" So at first it looks like this parable is about defining who the neighbor is. But Jesus asks, who acted as a neighbor? It was the Samaritan, and he says, "Go and do likewise." That was a new realization for me because I think I can be pretty good at identifying who my neighbor is. I can look out at the world and see many people in need, and I can say, well, that's a neighbor. Jesus turns the question, though, back at us and says, are you acting as a neighbor to them? Because he says, go and do likewise. Treat one another with mercy. In our world today, this is a challenge. We may see many neighbors in need of mercy. And the question is, are we reaching out to help them? How do we do it? Do we make that action? And it's not always an easy answer because there are so many. Who do we prioritize? There's a limited amount of our money and our time, our resources. How do we make those decisions? Well, a couple of examples that I've noticed recently. One was a few weeks ago, and this was on a Sunday. It was after the 8:45 Mass. Most of you had gone in to either start your fellowship with the donuts and coffee, or you were mingling in the gathering space. And outside the main door here, I saw a young couple with 2 little children, and they were asking for money. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any money on me. And then I also thought, they shouldn't be here. They're bothering you. So I watched them for a while, hoping they'd just go away. Then I went out there and I said, do you need some money? And I knew they did. And the father said, yes. I said, well, I don't have any money. I'm sorry. And then I kind of walked away and I hoped they would leave. I wasn't comfortable saying to them, don't beg for money. These people are coming out of church. Just leave them alone. But I thought that's rather rude. So I'll just try to ignore the problem and hope it goes away. And as I was walking back into the door, I noticed somebody going out handing them money. I thought, oh, well, they're going to do it anyways. They're going to make a decision to hand money over. Ever since that happened, I haven't been happy with myself, how I handled that. I felt like in the parable today, like the priest walking by on the opposite side of the road. I thought of different ways I could have handled it. Could I have brought him in and taken him to the food, the donation closet, and let him look over some food there? Could I have run downstairs to my office and taken out my billfold and see if I have just a small amount of money? I don't want to give them too much, just a little bit. Do I have the right denomination to give them? Ever since this, I've also talked to Bonnie Steele, in charge of our social ministry and our pastoral ministry here. I've come up with some different ideas of how I could maybe have gift cards available. So on the weekend when people show up, if they show up, that I could hand them a gift card for Cub Foods or the gas station, or maybe I should give them money. And I'm wondering, well, what will that cause? Will it cause more and more people to come to our doorstep on a Sunday to bother you, good people, on your way out of Mass, asking you for money? Is that what it means to be a neighbor? Should we as a parish make ourselves available, or how can we? And I don't have a good answer to that question, but I lay the problem and the situation out because I'm not always a good neighbor, and I wish I could be better, but sometimes I'm not prepared when I see the person in need, how to treat them with mercy. Maybe you felt yourself in a similar situation and wondering what to do. I think it's a problem, it's a situation we can face every day. Another situation I've noticed, and maybe you too recently in our country, is the situation with immigration. This has been in the news quite a bit the last couple of weeks as we see different policies being enforced, different laws being enforced, and many people still coming to our country and being detained in different centers, figuring out how do we process them and do we let them in or do we send them home. This is not a new issue. It's been something that has faced our country for a while now, at least since the early 2000s. The U.S. bishops started writing different policy statements on immigration, encouraging government leaders. And back in 2000, it was a different set of government leaders, a different set of church leaders. And it's a situation that has challenged us as a country and a world for a while now. We still haven't figured out the best way to treat immigrants with mercy. We want to do it. We want to treat them with respect, but we don't always agree on the best way to do it. Back in 2000, the U.S. bishops wrote a statement along with the bishops of Mexico, because at that point, it was many immigrants from Mexico coming in to the country here or wanting to come in. And the U.S. and the Mexican bishops wrote the following pastoral letter on migration. And they wrote, migrants and immigrants are in our parishes and in our communities. We see much injustice and violence against them and much suffering and despair because civil and church structures are still inadequate to accommodate their basic needs. You could kind of say that could have been written yesterday, and it still applies. They wrote, the treatment of migrants challenges the consciences of elected officials, policymakers, residents of border communities, providers of legal aid and social services, many of whom share our Catholic faith. We seek to measure the interest of all parties in the migration phenomenon against the guidelines of Catholic social teaching and to offer a moral framework for embracing the reality of migration between our nations. And it's not just our two nations anymore, United States and Mexico. It's many more coming from Central America, moving, and other countries wanting to a safe place to live for themselves and their families. This upcoming September, Pope Francis has asked for a World Day of Prayer for migrants and refugees. It's going to be on the last Sunday of September, and here at St. Paschal, we're already discussing among the staff members about how we can highlight the issue of immigration, bring it into some of our prayer and singing and celebrating of the liturgies that last weekend of September, and to just become more aware of what the issue is all about, and to educate and to hopefully help all of us to grow in our awareness of migrants and their needs. Pope Francis wrote a letter. He wrote this last May, and usually he'll do this. He'll write a letter in advance of a major celebration, so it gives us time to read it over. And so this is his message. This is from his World Day message for migrants and refugees. He wrote it in May, but the celebration of the weekend is in September. I wanted to read part of it to you. He writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, faith assures us in a mysterious way that the kingdom of God is already present here on earth. Yet in our own time, we are saddened to see the obstacles it encounters. The most economically advanced societies are witnessing a growing trend towards extreme individualism. In this scenario, migrants, refugees, and displaced persons have become emblems of exclusion. In addition to their hardships of their condition, they are often looked down upon and considered the source of all society's problems. That attitude is an alarm bell warning of the moral decline we will face if we continue to give ground to the throwaway culture. For this reason, the presence of migrants and refugees is an invitation to recover some of those essential dimensions of our Christian existence and our humanity that risk being overlooked in a prosperous society. That is why it is not just about migrants. When we show concern for them, we show concerns for ourselves. In taking care of them, we all grow. It's not just about migrants, it's about our fears. We see this today when we're faced with the arrival of migrants and refugees. Sometimes we are afraid. The problem is not that we have doubts and fears, but it is a problem when they condition our way of thinking and acting, making us intolerant and perhaps even racist. In this way, fear deprives us of the desire to encounter the other person that is different from myself. It's not just about migrants, it's about charity. Through works of charity, we demonstrate our faith. The highest form of charity is shown to those unable to reciprocate and perhaps even to thank us in return. It's about being compassionate. Compassionate means recognizing the suffering of the other and taking immediate action to soothe, to heal, and to save. That is what the Samaritan did on the road when he encountered the dying person. Dear brothers and sisters, our response to the challenges posed by contemporary migration can be summed up in four verbs: welcome, protect, promote, and integrate. These verbs don't only apply to migrants and refugees. They describe the church's mission to everyone living on the periphery who need to be welcomed, protected, promoted, and integrated. Migrants help us to read the signs of the times. Through them, the Lord is calling us to conversion. Through them, the Lord invites us to embrace fully our Christian life and to contribute, each according to our vocation, to the building up of a world that is more and more in accord with God's plan. In expressing this prayerful hope and through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, Our Lady of the Way, I invoke God's blessings upon all the world's migrants and refugees and upon all those who accompany them on their journey. From the Vatican on May 27th, 2019, Pope Francis. It's a really wonderful statement, a lot in there to unpack, but I think he highlights the issue very well. We're called to embrace those who need us and who need mercy. It's not always going to be easy, and I'm not always the best at it, but I want to continue to learn and grow. And with each other here at St. Paschal's, let us continue to act as the Good Samaritan did. The Good Samaritan didn't only just notice who was his neighbor. The Good Samaritan did something to help his neighbor.